Unit 11. Looking forward. Energy. Exercise 3. Kevin is interviewing a man called John Hoffner.
People who work in the energy industry, making electricity, have to look into the future to predict our needs, especially people who work in alternative energy. People who look for new ways of making electricity, such as photovoltaics. The man to explain photovoltaics and look into the future is John Hoffner. His job is to provide electricity for the city of Austin in Texas. So, what exactly does photovoltaics mean?
Photovoltaics simply means converting light into electricity. Photo means light and voltaic means of electricity. So the simple definition is that it converts sunlight to electricity. We in Austin have the second largest photovoltaic plant in the United States. That plant is about 300 kilowatts in size. That's enough electricity for about 100 to 150 homes in Austin.
What will our sources of energy be 50 years from now?
50 years from now, we will see a completely different energy picture. A lot less reliance on traditional forms of electricity such as coal and natural gas and oil, and a lot more reliance on renewable energies such as photovoltaics, wind, and hydropower.
Exercise 5. Listen to this short extract from the interview.
What will our sources of energy be 50 years from now?
50 years from now, we will see a completely different energy picture.
Exercise 6. Listen to three people's opinions about future energy use. 1.
I think we may come back to nuclear power. Perhaps it's dangerous at the moment, but scientists might be able to design ways of making nuclear power stations safer in the future.
2.
I think we'll have to change the way we live soon, unless they find far more sources of oil and gas.
3.
You and I, all of us, we know that fossil fuels will definitely run out in 20, 30 years, but we do nothing about it.
Survival. Exercise 9. Listen to this news item.
Almost 2 years ago, 4 men and 4 women sealed themselves into a giant greenhouse in the Arizona desert to see whether they could survive in a completely enclosed environment. Next month, the Biospherians, as they have become known, will return to a mixed reception in the real world. They believe the Enterprise has been a success. They've lived in an enclosed system for 18 months longer than the previous record held by Russian astronauts. Most of their food has been grown inside the complex, and all their waste and water has been successfully recycled. But many experts have dismissed the project as having no scientific value, since oxygen was pumped into the biosphere at the beginning of the year. Crew members were suffering from altitude sickness at the time because the atmosphere was so thin. For Sally Silverstone, who has been responsible for food systems inside the biosphere, the low oxygen levels and crop failures have been the most frustrating part of the whole experience. She has often wanted to give it all up when she sees crops that have taken so much work to grow ruined, but she would do it all again. When I spoke to her on the phone last night, she told me she had no plans to take a holiday on her 24-month salary after re-entry, but will be spending the next few months preparing a new crew to continue the work in the biosphere.
Discussions. Exercise 2. Listen to this conversation about the future.
In the end, science is likely to solve a lot of the world's problems.
I mean,
medical advances and things like that. They'll cut down diseases.
Yeah.
I heard a geneticist on the radio talking about how they might be able to get rid of hereditary diseases altogether in the next 10 years.
Yes, might. But there are new diseases all the time. And anyway, science creates problems, doesn't just solve them.
What do you mean?
Well, take genetic engineering, for instance. Mm-hmm. The same research that's intended to fight diseases has other uses as well.
Like what?
Well, they're not only finding out about genes that cause diseases, they're also going to know which ones give us the colour of our hair and eyes. In theory, they already know how to create male or female children. And now they're saying there might be a gene that affects intelligence.
Wait a moment. What's wrong with that?
What's wrong with it? Everyone will want the same kind of children. And in some countries, that'll mean mostly male children. And all intelligent, of course. And in some countries...
Just let me tell you something. When I have children, which I'm not thinking of doing yet, if science can give me the perfect child, then I intend to have the perfect child. I think it's a great idea. You see, we'll have a world full of perfect people. And there'll be too many men.
Do you really believe that? You can't be certain that people will choose their baby's characteristics. It'd be awful if we lost the variety. I mean, if people were all the same. But perhaps that won't happen. I don't think it will.
Exercise 6. Listen again to Pat's third speech.
Well, they're not only finding out about genes that cause diseases, they're also going to know which ones give us the colour of our hair and eyes. In theory, they already know how to create male or female children. And now they're saying there might be a gene that affects intelligence.
Unit 12. News and Views. Making News. Exercises 3 and 4. Listen to an interview with Ivan Fallon, who works for the Sunday Times newspaper.
It's a broadsheet newspaper, as opposed to what we call a tabloid newspaper. This is twice the size of a tabloid newspaper. It's a very large newspaper. It's a multi-section newspaper. We've got 8 sections and a magazine. The first section, which is obviously the most important section, is what we call the news section. And in that we have home news, we have foreign news, and we have analysis of some of the major events of the week. After that we have more specialized sections. We have what we call the news review section. This section includes what we call the leader, which is the newspaper's editorial comment, our views on what is the most important event of the week. This one here, which will be personally written by the editor, which is an attack upon the government's economic policy and its employment policies. This is our contribution to the political debate. The third section, which is the section I edit, is business. This is a section that is amazingly well read. It's the classified advertising section. Classified advertisements being special or small advertisements, quite often they're tiny ads. Now we get to our tabloid sections. We have effectively 3 tabloid sections. The reason for this is we found that not everybody likes the large broadsheet format. We've developed this particular section as our art section. The book section, we call section 6, was the first time in Britain that this type of separate section had been done on books, and is still the only separate book section in Britain. We also have a colour magazine, colour supplement, which is very much a separate part of the paper.
Reading Habits. Exercises 4 and 5. Listen to 3 people talking about the newspapers they read. 1.
I don't read newspapers at all. They're all biased. They've been taken over by companies who have political interests. And in Britain, most of the papers are right-wing. There are 1 or 2 that I think are a bit more objective, but I'd rather listen to the radio.
2.
Actually, I don't want to know about the details of all the troubles in the world. It's all so depressing. I like human interest stories. Stories about people, not wars and disasters. So my daily newspaper is a tabloid. The other good thing about a tabloid is that you can read it in 10 minutes on the way to work. That's all I want.
3.
I get a so-called quality newspaper on Sundays because it gives me a good summary of world events. But I also buy tabloids 2 or 3 times a week. People are critical of the pictures and stories of the royals and their problems that have been published in the tabloids, but I don't agree. Why shouldn't we know how they're spending our money? They're public figures, and only the tabloids give you the details. The other papers are too respectful.
Exercise 6. Listen to these words.
Sensation, education, information, imagination, edition, production.
Unit 13. On show. Learning experiences. Exercise 3. Listen to Alison Porter, a curator at the Science Museum in London, talking about a particular gallery in the museum. Answer the questions in your student's book.
Launchpad is our largest interactive gallery, and when it opened, it was the first of its type in this country. It has a number of exhibits. As many as 60 different interactive exhibits are in the gallery. During the week, you'll see school parties using the gallery with their teachers, but at weekends, families come and let the whole lot join in. I find the museum a very stimulating place. It's a place that's both a lot of fun, and it's also a big learning environment. And I think that anyone that visits here will go away feeling that they've learned something from the experience, and they can take that away with them.
Exercises 7 and 8. A guide is talking about the exhibits at the Red Cross Red Crescent Museum.
Well, there are a lot of fascinating exhibits. There's the Wall of Time. This gives details of major world events, wars, conflicts, and natural disasters from 1863 to the present day, and gives details of the Red Cross involvement in each one. It's also got a display of the original agreements setting up the organization, and examples of medical kits carried by volunteers. Then you can see the kind of records the organization used to keep. One room has a card index system of all prisoners of war held in 38 different countries during the First World War. Of course, nowadays, records are held on computers, and visitors can consult these if they wish. There are also films of Red Cross and Red Crescent volunteers in action in the First and Second World Wars, and of its activities in peacetime, fighting disease, and helping victims of earthquakes, volcanic eruptions, and other natural events. The work of the organization today is shown on a row of television screens. Another interesting feature is that a number of sculptures of groups of people are placed throughout the museum. The people are faceless and their hands are tied. They represent the misery of casualties of war and oppressive peace throughout the world. It's a surprising museum. It leaves you feeling depressed at the amazing scale of human suffering, but it's also encouraging to think that organizations like the Red Cross and Red Crescent exist and are dedicated to peace.
Responding to pictures. Exercises 6 and 7. Listen to a woman describing one of the pictures in your student's book. Which picture is she describing?
There are two children in the picture, one in the middle at the front and another behind. I don't know if they're boys or girls. They look very similar. Perhaps they're twins. They've both got blonde hair and, let me see, I think they've got blue eyes. They're wearing nappies and they're covered in paint. They've got paint everywhere, in their hair, round their faces and all over their bodies. I guess they're, probably at a nursery, you know, or a play school or somewhere like that. They look about 1 or 2 years old, and they're obviously well fed. They're both quite plump. Now, I think they're probably European, or American, perhaps. Actually, in my opinion, this isn't a very natural photograph. It's not likely that both kids would have the dishes on their heads at the same time. So, I think the photographer arranged the photo. Anyway, it's a nice picture. The kids look happy and innocent. And secure. And, you know, they don't seem to have a care in the world. It makes me feel good to see kids so happy and relaxed.
Unit 14. In touch. Door to door. Exercises 7 and 8. Listen to a conversation between a woman and a representative of a delivery company.
ICS, good morning. How can I help you?
Good morning. I'm thinking of sending a parcel to New York by courier next week. Can you tell me what the procedure is, please?
Certainly. When you ring us, we need the following information. The invoice address, that's probably your own address, isn't it? And then the pickup address, if that's different. And a contact phone number.
Just a moment. I'm taking notes. Phone number. Right.
Then we need the full name, address, and phone number of the person you're sending the parcel to.
Okay. Anything else?
Yes. The weight and dimensions of the parcel. That's height, width, and length. And the value of the goods. And a full description.
Value. Description.
Yes, but don't seal the parcel. You need to leave it open so that the driver can check the contents when he collects it. After the recent bombing, the airline said that we'd have to check all parcels. They told us we had to do it.
Fine. Now, how long will the parcel take to get to New York?
1 to 2 working days. Just a moment, I'll check with the manager. Yes, the manager says that there are daily flights at midday. If your parcel catches that flight, it'll arrive within 24 hours.
Good. I live near Oxford. What time would you need to collect from here in order to catch the midday flight?
Near Oxford. What's your postcode?
OX7.
Just a moment. Yes, the manager says we can collect the parcel from you at 10:15 on the morning of the flight. Now, there's one more thing. What are you planning to send?
Books.
In that case, you'll need to write an invoice for customs. We need 6 copies, and the driver will take them from you when he collects the parcel. On the invoice, you need to write your address and the destination. Then, you must say what's in the parcel, and specify the weight and the value. Write a sentence declaring that the information is true, and sign each copy.
Sign each copy. Right. Thank you very much. You've been very helpful.
Not at all. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Emergency. Exercise 2. Listen to an interview with Michelle Redfern, one of the people who answers the telephone at the London Ambulance Control Room. Part 1.
When somebody dials 999, they'll speak to a British Telecom operator. The operator will ask the caller what service they require, either police, fire brigade, or ambulance. The caller then will say, ambulance service.
The London Ambulance can help you. 12 Edric House, Page Street.
Okay, let's
please go around. Hold on, what area of London is that?
The information you want from a caller is the correct location. That is very important. You need to know where they actually are.
And what's the address, sir? 36 where? Larch, L-A-R-C-H. Close, and that's where, sir? S-W. Surface 12.
Once you've actually got the correct information, then you then find out what is wrong, why they need an ambulance. If you can help, give advice over the phone, and get an ambulance to them as soon as you can.
Part 2. The interviewer asked about calls that Michelle had received that day. Listen.
I received a call from a doctor's receptionist, and she said to me that a patient had walked to the surgery with a heart attack.
London Ambulance can help you. Is this an immediate ambulance? And the doctor's name?
The main aim of my job is to help the public and get them the ambulance there as soon as we can in the shortest time possible.
Exercise 3. Now listen to the conversation in the correct order and check your answers.
Emergency services, fire, police or ambulance?
Ambulance, please.
I'm putting you through. Hello, London Ambulance. Can I help you?
Yes, there's been an accident. A boy has been hit by a car.
Can you tell me exactly where you are?
In Fulham, outside number 44 Birchfield Avenue.
Can you spell that, please?
B-I-R-C-H-F-I-E-L-D. Birchfield.
Is the boy conscious?
Yes, but he's losing a lot of blood.
Okay, we'll have an ambulance there as soon as possible.
Exercise 6. Listen to this telephone conversation.
Good morning, Prescott Publishing.
Hello. Could you put me through to Miss Bayliss, please?
Certainly. Who's calling?
It's Staff Nurse Evans here. I'm calling from the hospital.
Hold the line, please. I'll put you through. Sorry to keep you waiting. I'm afraid her line's engaged at the moment. Would you like to leave a message?
No, I'm afraid I need to speak to her immediately. It's urgent.
Right, just a moment. I'll let her know.
Exercise 9. Listen to the conversation between the nurse and Ms. Bayliss.
Hello, Helen Bayliss.
Hello, Miss Bayliss. I'm phoning from the hospital.
Yes? Has something happened?
I'm afraid your son has had an accident.
What? Oh, no. Is he hurt?
Well, he's broken his leg, and he's got cuts and bruises to other parts of his body.
But he's okay?
Yes. He's seen a doctor, and he's going to be all right.
Oh, thank goodness. Can I come in and see him?
Yes, of course. And perhaps you could bring some pajamas and toiletries in for him.
So you're going to keep him in overnight?
Yes, but don't worry. It's just routine. The doctor wants to keep him under observation for 24 hours. He wants to make sure there are no problems.
What do you mean? What kind of problems?
Oh, nothing. Really, it's just routine after an accident like this.
I see. But what happened? What sort of accident was it?
He was riding his motorbike and was hit by a car.
Oh, that motorbike. I've told him to be careful. When did this happen?
Oh, about 3 hours ago.
Right. Well, I'll go and get some things for him, and I'll be there as soon as I can.
That'll be fine. Come to reception in accident and emergency.
Right. I'll be there soon. Thanks. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Unit 15. A change of scene. Preparing to leave. Exercise 7. A woman is discussing some advice with her son. Listen to the example, and then respond to the other pieces of advice.
You will contact your employers immediately, won't you?
Don't worry, I'll contact them as soon as I arrive.
Look after your bags in public places, won't you?
Of course I'll look after my things if I'm in a public place.
Now remember not to eat unwashed fruit.
It's all right. I won't eat any fruit unless it's been washed.
And make sure you boil water in rural areas.
Yes, yes. I'll boil the water if I'm outside the cities.
You won't forget to take your malaria tablets every morning.
No, I'll take my malaria tablets when I get up.
And you'll let me know your new address?
Don't worry. I'll write to you when I find somewhere to live.
It says here that it's important to start learning the local language immediately.
Yes, I'll start learning it as soon as I get there.
And you won't accept invitations from strangers, will you?
No, Mother, I won't accept an invitation unless I know the person well. Now, is that it? Can I finish packing?
Getting away. Exercise 4. Listen to an interview with Maria Paul.
Kearney offers some very exciting tours. We go to some quite unusual places that possibly people haven't heard too much about. Little islands like Koh Samui. We go to places like the Maldives Islands. Lots of different islands with very different characters, different things to offer everyone. Everything from a particularly deluxe island like Corumba down to tiny little islands with just very basic accommodation, restaurants with sand floors, that type of thing. And then there's completely the other end of the market, Princess Cruises around the Caribbean, the ultimate in luxury. The customers can ask for absolutely anything and we'll provide it, but I think probably the most popular destinations overall are Thailand, Hong Kong, Barbados in the Caribbean, although other Caribbean islands also do very well. Egypt is always popular. A lot of people are fascinated by Egypt and the culture. The Nile cruises in particular, always very full. Working in the travel business, you find that every day is different. You don't know what the client is going to want. When they come through the door, they could ask for anything. They could ask for a rail ticket, or they could ask for the most wonderful exotic holiday.
Exercise 5. Listen to the first part of a conversation in a travel agency.
Okay, so I'll just go through that with you again. Two adults, 2 weeks in Egypt from April the 16th to the 30th, flying from Heathrow to Cairo and back with Egypt Air. Two nights at the Pullman Mahdi Towers in Cairo, then by air to Aswan. A 10-day Nile cruise from Aswan through Luxor and back to Cairo. Followed by two more nights at the Pullman Mahdi Towers, flying back to Heathrow on the 30th. And you're in a double room at the hotel, and a double cabin on the boat, which is the Osiris.
Yes, that's right. Do you know what the flight times are?
The Alfred flight from London is... let me see. Yes, 10:45 in the morning. And the return is... I think it's early evening. Yes, 20:50. 10 to 9 in the evening. Local time, that is.
Right, that's fine.
Oh, sorry. I can't remember what you include in the price. Is it all meals or just breakfast?
Yes, it's full board, so all meals. And transfer from the airport to your hotel. Oh. Everything's included.
Good.
Now, can you tell me if you need travel insurance?
Yes, we do.
Okay, well, that's an extra £41 each. Is that okay?
Well, there's no choice, is there? I mean, we have to have it, don't we?
Yes, I'm afraid so.
Well, all right then.
Exercise 6. Listen to the whole of the conversation and complete the booking form in your student's book.
Okay, so I'll just go through that with you again. Two adults, 2 weeks in Egypt from April the 16th to the 30th, flying from Heathrow to Cairo and back with Egypt Air. Two nights at the Pullman Mahdi Towers in Cairo, then by air to Aswan. A 10-day Nile cruise from Aswan through Luxor and back to Cairo, followed by two more nights at the Pullman Mahdi Towers, flying back to Heathrow on the 30th. And you're in a double room at the hotel and a double cabin on the boat, which is the Osiris.
Yes, that's right. Do you know what the flight times are?
The Alfred flight from London is... let me see. Yes, 10:45 in the morning. And the return is... I think it's early evening. Yes, 20:50. 10 to 9 in the evening. Local time, that is.
Right, that's fine.
Oh, sorry. I can't remember what you include in the price. Is it all meals or just breakfast?
Yes, it's full board, so all meals. And transfer from the airport to your hotel. Oh. Everything's included.
Good.
Now, can you tell me if you need travel insurance?
Yes, we do.
Okay, well, that's an extra £41 each. Is that okay?
Well, there's no choice, is there? I mean, we have to have it, don't we?
Yes, I'm afraid so.
Well, all right then.
Okay, I wonder if I could take some details now. Right, could I have your names, please?
The surname's Porter. P-O-R-T-E-R.
And your initials, please?
S-A.
S-A. And yours, sir?
G-L.
G-L. Right. And can I have your telephone number, please?
Our home number's 386-775.
386-775. And do you have a work number, in case I need to contact you during the day?
You can put mine down. It's 625903.
Fine. Okay. If you could just sign the booking form here. Thank you. And I need a deposit.
Now? Can I pay by credit card?
Yes, of course. Then we'll call you when the tickets arrive from the airline. I don't know when you want to pay the balance of the holiday price, but we will need it before we can issue the tickets. Perhaps you could come into the office sometime next week.
Yes, I mean, that should be okay.
听力课堂, thinkclass.com